Now, let me go to another woman who knows a thing or two about guiding people to decisions. Marion McKeown, US correspondent for the Sunday Business Post. Now, in the US, the Democrats have launched an impeachment inquiry against President Donald Trump following the release of a transcript. Well, it wasn't a full transcript of a conversation between the US leader and the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky. The transcript appears to show President Trump using promised aid, I think it was about $400 million, to the Ukraine as a bargaining tool for an investigation into political rival Joe Biden and his son. Now, as I say, I'm joined by the US correspondent for the Business Post, Marion McKeown. Good morning to you, Marion. Listen, when I heard of this at first, I thought to myself that this is the Democrats identifying themselves again as hating Trump, with not an awful lot else going for them. But my advisors in the United States on this said, no, this is serious.
Yeah, I think, Marion, that this is, you know, in some ways, I think the Democrats have totally mishandled the whole Mueller inquiry. I think they totally mishandled the half dozen different investigations that have been going on since, which Trump has totally stonewalled. And they've really proven how ineffectual and hand-wringing they can be. Because when Republicans fight, they fight tough. And Democrats don't just turn up with a knife to a gunfight. They turn up with a flower. You know, they're just not good fighters in the way that Republicans are. But this is, I think, different. And I think there is a little bit of a tide turning with this. The reasons being, well, let's get into this first of all. To sum it up, and there's a cast of characters in this, you could not make it up. I mean, I think it was Martin McDonagh who said in one of his plays, worser and worser this story gets, and nothing is more true than about the Trump administration. Briefly, what happened was Ukraine elected a new president, Volodymyr Zelensky, as he said, in April this year. There were parliamentary elections in July, which he also won. Donald Trump phoned him on July 25th for the sort of standard congratulatory how are you getting on call. And normally the Ukraine, putting this in context, the Ukraine is in a terribly vulnerable position, and was, because it had already been invaded by Russia and Crimea, etc. Along then comes Donald Trump, who becomes president of America, who says, well, should we be helping the Ukraine at all? Why should we care if Russia, you know, invades them? And then is shown to be a very sort of big admirer of Putin. So this all makes the Ukraine feel very, very vulnerable, because Russia could be emboldened and decide to invade again any day. So they want to keep on the right side of the American president. So already Trump is holding a big stick without having to do anything. Now, because America and the Republicans in particular really did see the value of supporting the Ukraine, they had authorized a $391 million aid package, which included military aid. It was basically a done deal, and it was to be delivered to them. They were seen as a very valuable American ally that was in a very, very vulnerable position vis-a-vis Russia. So Trump gets on the phone, and a couple of days beforehand, he has frozen this aid package. He then speaks with Zelensky, and the rough transcript of the call basically says that he wants a favor. He wants a favor from Zelensky, and he refers to this crazy conspiracy theory about the Democrats and the whole hacking thing really starting in the Ukraine. He wants that looked into, but also he wants to reopen investigations into Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden, because Hunter Biden was on the board of an energy company called Burisma, which was owned by a former Ukrainian politician, and it had been investigated for corruption by a previous prosecutor in Ukraine. He was fired. Joe Biden was amongst many people who had pressured for him to be fired, but not because he wasn't investigating Burisma, which was regarded as being potentially corrupt, but because he wasn't going far enough in the investigation. So Biden and the US ambassador at the time and the EU and a lot of other people all said, this guy, Viktor Shulkin, is useless. He's not being serious about investigating corruption. Now, Shulkin was appointed by, I should say, and I'm sorry, this is so much detail.
It is, yeah.
Peter Poroshenko, who was appointed after the previous pro-Russian president was ousted. Anyway, Shokin is then pushed out and he's replaced with a new investigator called Yuri Lutsenko. And Trump is now urging Zelensky to reopen this investigation, and the reason why is not entirely clear, other than that if an investigation were opened into Joe Biden and his son at this point, it would certainly in July, it would seriously damage Joe Biden's election chances, Trump believes, and Trump believes Joe Biden is the only Democrat who can beat him. So basically he has Zelensky really over a barrel where he's saying, I want a favour from you, and it's kind
and
of
it's going to cost you $400 million.
Yeah, that if he doesn't get this favour, and it's not just the $400 billion, it's the prospect that the US will withdraw support from the Ukraine and leave them to fend for themselves against Russia. So there's a lot of pressure on Zelensky.
But the thing about it, I've been hearing people saying, you know, that this is simple. And, you know, because this is simple, it's easy to explain. If you look at Trump's base, I can see their eyes glazing over and think, here we go again. They're attacking our guy.
Yeah, and that will absolutely happen. Nancy Pelosi was very, very... She's the Democratic Speaker of the House and the Speaker in the House of Representatives. She was very reluctant to go after impeachment, even when Robert Mueller found that there were possibly 10 instances of obstruction of justice to do with the whole Russian inquiry. She said, no, people are sick of it, they don't understand it, it'll just turn them off. This is, although the background is complex, it's arguably simpler. Did the American president basically shake down, as Nancy Pelosi put it, the newly elected president of the Ukraine to force him to investigate a political rival, somebody who he thought could beat him in a presidential election. And that's really what it comes down to. And the second part, which is equally critical, was there then a cover-up? And this seems to be, certainly there is evidence of this, because the normal place where these calls are kept, this call was removed from by White House officials, and it was put into a very, very secret service. You know, we hear about these servers all the time, which is normally reserved and with a code word. And in this situation, I've spoken with intelligence people. They say, look, this is the kind of place where if you're plotting a huge operation, like possibly a war, a lot of people have used the attack against Bin Laden, the operation to take him out as an example. This is the sort of level of top secret where this phone call was stashed, where the digitized readout of it was stashed. It was basically put into a concrete barrel and dumped in the bottom of the sea. So this seems on its face to be very clear evidence that the White House didn't want anyone to know about this call. But of course things get out and people were so alarmed that they spoke about it and White House officials discussed it. And this whistleblower, who apparently is a CIA analyst, a career CIA person, was really concerned, as a lot of people in America are, about the way in which the current administration is just riding roughshod over any kind of political norms, over all the rules, over everything
we're
to do what they
to
want.
We're back to institutions,
so,
really, like we were talking about
back
in Britain.
To institutions. And, you know, I think that at the moment, one barometer, which is, I'm not a big fan of polls, but this is quite interesting. Back in July, around July, before any of this came out, and when the Mueller report came out, only about 29% of people supported impeaching Trump. Now, at the moment, it's evenly split. Polls are showing that slightly more Americans now favour impeachment than not, by maybe 1 or 2%. Now, this could go down or go up again, depending on how Democrats handle the next phase, which is the articles of impeachment. But I do want to say, Marion, that even if, and this is where it could get a little bit crazy, even if the Democrats and the House votes on the articles of impeachment and they're presented to the Senate under Mitch McConnell could decide, oh, we're not holding a trial, we're not going to do anything.
Yep.
And if they decide that, there is no remedy.
Okay. Paul, do you keep an eye on these things?
Oh, well, absolutely, I keep an eye on it. Well, the first thing is the financial markets didn't take any of this seriously whatsoever. The share prices didn't fall. The dollar is as strong as the strongest it's been for 2 years. So they're not taking so far the impeachment bit. I would say it is pretty simple. Donald Trump looks like he's broken the law, but unfortunately, the chances of it being proved between now and the election in 2020 are very, very slim. So the first thing you think is, well, his base is going to be exercised by this, so he's more likely to do better in a 2020 election than he would do anyway. More tellingly, it's sort of an aside point, but it's something I follow quite a bit, is they're looking into his tax receipts, the Democrats as well.
Yeah, well, how's that progressing?
Well, it's progressing slowly, but I think it's absolutely fascinating because they've subpoenaed maybe about 20 banks. You know, Deutsche Bank is his main lender, and they've subpoenaed Deutsche Bank and the records, and Deutsche Bank has said they're going to give over the records. Deutsche Bank has its own problems. It's down 90% share price.
That's
mainly
a problem,
gone bust itself. But I would suggest that going that way, they might have more success, because I would suggest if his tax books are ever released, you know, he's a goner. So I would suggest...
You only suspect that.
No, I was. That's what I suspect, yeah. So I would suggest that the financial markets would take that a bit more serious than the impeachment. It's not that they're not taking it seriously. It's going to be a long, drawn-out process, and no one can really see where it's going, and it's probably going to take years. So, again, for me in the financial markets, there's a lot more things to worry about than Donald Trump's impeachment.
Okay. John?
Can I just say on that, Paul, that I think you're right. Trump's tax records will be a big thing if they eventually come out. But Americans are expecting that. They also, at this stage, almost expect him to break the law. The impeachment process will probably take about 4 months, which means that if there is a trial, if the Senate doesn't decide to just delay it or kick it into touch after 2020, it built into the impeachment process took the whole thing beginning to end less than 4 months. That's, you know, so if you're looking at that, you're talking about possibly January. The Democrats are moving full speed ahead with this. They're taking a deposition from Kurt Volker, the U.S. envoy who quit there on Thursday. Also, you've got to figure that it's also come out now in the meantime that Donald Trump told the Russian ambassador and the Russian foreign minister during that bizarre meeting he had with them back in 2018 that he wasn't worried about the Russian meddling in the U.S. elections. There, things do reach a critical mass where if I suspect that the Democrats' purpose of impeachment is that it gives them serious powers to access. It gives them much stronger powers of subpoena than they have at the moment for all these piddling little
right.
Senate investigations,
okay.
or beg your pardon, the House investigations,
yeah.
and that they think that the public, if all this stuff comes out, the public might be sufficiently revulsed that even if the Democrats, it's unlikely he'll be impeached anyway. It would take 20 Republican senators to cross the
highly
aisle
unlikely,
for
yeah.
Trump to be impeached. That ain't going to happen.
Okay, John, you wanted to come
again,
in there.
I'll
come back to you, Marion. Yeah.
Good morning, Marion, and thanks for your analysis. Rigorous as always. I agree with you. The Democrats really didn't handle the Mueller investigation very well. We shouldn't forget, though, that quite a number of Trump's acolytes went to prison, in particular Paul Manafort, who was his campaign manager at one point and was up to his neck in illegal activity in Ukraine. But I think this is also very dangerous for the Democrats because, you know, Trump is doing this stuff in plain sight. Rudy Giuliani, his lawyer fixer, goes on television and his usual strategy is to first deny that they've done these things, then he admits it, and then he kind of says, okay, so what? And they've done
this
very consistently.
That works.
Yeah, it is. And I think the danger for the Democrats is that this is about the front runner in the Democratic primaries, Joe Biden. And I think inevitably he's going to be damaged by this. I think his campaign was actually in trouble anyway, even as the front runner. But there's a big question mark. What on earth is Hunter Biden, his son, doing in Ukraine, getting $50,000 a month from a Ukrainian company? Ukraine is one of the worst countries in the world for corruption measured by Transparency International, the big organization that does this. And in particular, the gas industry is just a cesspit of individuals and oligarchs that are essentially engaged in theft, whole-scale theft. Yanukovych, the previous president of Ukraine, was run out of town.
I think might say the whole gas industry.
I would say emphatically the entire gas industry in Ukraine.
In Ukraine?
Yes.
Oh, well, I don't know if they're listening in Ukraine, but they might
I'm
hear
sure you
it.
Have some fans in Kiev. You've got to have.
The oligarchs and the gas and the oil and all that are so
it hasn't changed at all. Ukraine has had three revolutions since 1990 after Yanukovych. Poroshenko himself, the president, was an oligarch, and he's been replaced by a very inexperienced guy, Zelensky, mid-40s. He was an actor. He won an emphatic mandate from the people, but there are deep question marks about him and his links to very shady operations.
Okay,
too.
Karen.
Absolutely. On the Biden thing, I couldn't agree with you more on Hunter Biden. And, you know, it's something I was talking to a Biden campaign aide a while ago, and my understanding is this, that Hunter Biden is a deeply troubled individual. It's public knowledge that he has struggled with drug abuse, with alcohol abuse. His marriage collapsed after, and the divorce was very, very acrimonious. He's had a lot of problems. He's also worked as a lobbyist. He has embarrassed his father. I definitely think the Bidens are a fiercely close family. I mean, fiercely close. And the agreement they apparently came to is that they just wouldn't talk business. Now, Joe Biden, who was in charge of dealing with Ukraine, he became Obama's point man on Ukraine. So for him to look the other way while his son was getting $50,000 a year, as you say, and this chap who owns Burisma, there was always questions about him, this oligarch, about how he got the licenses, how he got all that kind of thing. So, you know, Joe Biden apparently, and again, I was told this fairly confidentially, that the one thing that will make Joe Biden see red is if you question his son, Hunter. Now, you know the family background history. Hunter was in a very serious car accident when he was 20 months old. His mother and younger sister were killed. He got a serious head injury. His other brother was seriously injured as well, who died of brain cancer a couple of years ago. There was a lot of tragedy in the family. Maybe Joe Biden has a soft spot or a blind spot, I think people would say, but he absolutely should have said, get off that board. Get off that board. Even if you're not doing anything wrong, it looks wrong. And it was a huge mistake for Joe Biden to make. I'm surprised that the Obama administration didn't lean on Joe Biden to make him to insist on it.
Okay.
It was a big mistake.
Okay, just one last quick question. What about Elizabeth Warren?
You know, I don't know. I think that it's way too soon to call on anything.
Okay.
I think you're right about Biden. I don't think he's going to get the nomination with or without this happening. I think he's already on the skids.
Okay.
I mean, you know, watch this space, Marion. It's only going to get crazier from here on in.
Oh, but there's a lot of craziness going on in this neck of the woods as well.
For everyone.
There's plenty to go around. Listen, thank you very, very much indeed, Marion, for that. And before I go to the break, you were going to say?
Well, I was going to say, the Democrats have a dilemma, because if you tolerate outrageous behaviour repeatedly, then it becomes the new normal. And so you can see what to expect from a pig but a grunt, but then you end up tolerating it. So they do have to call a halt. But then the Clintons and the Obamas do bear an awful lot of responsibility. How are the Democrats relying on Joe Biden, who looked old in 2008, as their person? The Clintons and the Obamas didn't nurture any replacements. They didn't bring anybody up. Mm-hmm. The Democrat leadership team and the House of Representatives, their top three, are all over 78 years old. The Democrats
have... Are you
being
ageist here?
Well,
I think there's room for someone
who's 77.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
it's a good point, though.
They have not brought anybody up, and therefore they've got this empty bench to face Trump, who is a nightmare but a talented campaigner.
Right, there you go. Last word, Shona.
Yeah, I just wonder if anything is going to turn people off Donald Trump. When you look at what he's doing in plain sight in relation to whether it's his taxes or, you know, this bribe or, you know, blackmail of the president of Ukraine, or most importantly, children in cages, and the fact that he's decided to change legislation in the Texan border to mean that children can be kept in cages indefinitely, which used to be, I think, a limit of up to 21 days. Several of those children have died, and none of that apparently seems to make any impact on whether people think he's a suitable president or a decent human, in fact.
Marion, can I make a very quick point
as
the last thing? Look, this is how it works in America. 30 to 36% of the electorate do not care what Donald Trump does. Every child from Mexico could die in a cage. They would still vote for him. I'm not being flippant here. I'm really not. But what the Democrats are hoping is that the other 14%, you know, the bit in the middle, the moderates, the Republicans who consider themselves old school Republicans, will eventually become sickened by all this. And also, Washington is a place where survival is the first rule of order of the day. Trump has no friends in Washington. He only has people whose interests coincide with his at the moment. And they would turn on him once it's no longer profitable to support him. So there's a lot of other stuff going on here. But they're the things. Trump's base, regardless of what he does, will vote for him. Republicans in Congress, not so much.
Right.
What will turn off people about Trump will be slow down the American economy, and that is coming.
Right. Is
exactly.
it coming?
Yeah.
You say that very firmly.
Well, no, but the numbers are already... I mean, put it like this, sorry. The numbers that we look at to anticipate the bigger GDP numbers are already signifying that, so it's not my view.
How
my
far
view
away is that then, Paul?
Well,
will have impacted the 2020 election.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why they're trying to make so many tax cuts and more policies to be pro economy and pro big companies because they're aiming for the 2020 election. They all, for an example, the Federal Reserve last Christmas said they were going to put up interest rates three yes. times in 2019 yeah. because the economy is doing so strongly. They've reversed that completely. They've already cut interest rates twice. They're going to cut interest
rates. Is that political pressure?
Oh yeah, Trump
it's,
is at war.
It's political pressure, yeah, but yeah. it's also because absolutely. The economy is slowing and they right. can see it. They're watching the same things as we are, which is it's slowing fairly dramatically around the world, as right. I say, in Europe and Japan, and America's going to be affected, and that's going to put people off Trump.
Okay, just you were going to come
just
in
very
there.
Briefly,
I mean, diplomats don't use the word blackmail anyway, so we know that.
Oh, we might occasionally. Just to say, I would agree. I think the Democrats had no option at this stage, and it's probably not Trump. I think they're trying to set a benchmark for behaviour by a president, and if they were seen to let so many different things go...
Are you talking the difference between politics and ethics?
Yes.
Right.
I am. Okay. I think people aren't fools. They can see at some level you've reached the right. end. And could I put in a short plea for the collateral damage in all of this of Ukraine? It's hard to overestimate what it's like for a country like Ukraine to get itself back into a democracy and run its systems of legal, etc. There are collateral damage in this, and there's a war going on.
Yeah.
And it's...
Yeah. I think that it's still on the Department of Foreign Affairs, don't travel. I think there's a no travel thing. It's certainly Crimea.
It's more the last don't time travel to Eastern Ukraine. Yeah.
The problem is the Donbass in the east of Ukraine, absolutely. Yeah. More than 10,000 people have died in that war. Mary's absolutely
you
right.
You lecture there, don't you?
I'm going there actually at the end of October to give some talks.
Oh, well,
there,
you can report back to us.
I shall.
Okay. Listen, on that note, thanks again, Marion, and we'll take a break.
Thank you.
Podcast The Marion Finucane Show at rte.ie/radio.